Yep, that's me. There it is. We'll have to cut that out. Nobody's in the front row, I notice. All right. Let me turn that. Let me close this down. Close the wall. My lady. All right. So, last week we talked a little bit about quantum physics. We talked about the double slit experiment, or 2 weeks ago. We talked about the double slit experiment. Do we have questions on any of that, the people that were here? Just so you know, last week's, or 2 weeks ago's teaching is online on nickcastellano.com, and also the PowerPoint's there, but it sounded like you didn't see it easily, so I'll have to ask Drew where he put it. But I gave it to him to put on there so you could follow the PowerPoint with the teaching. Makes it easier. But any question? And did I answer your question about the atom? Yeah. Did you? Okay, good. Good, super. Yeah, don't believe me. So we're going to get into how to create. And it's called the 5 R's to creating. And to do this, we're going to have to set up some background that show how science says we create, show how neuroscience says we create, and show how the Bible says we create. So we've got three different sources saying we create the reality we live in. Nobody wants to hear that, because if you hear that, then you are responsible for the things you've created in your life. And nobody wants that responsibility. We'd rather just blame somebody and become a victim instead of a victor. So, that which empowers is of God. And that's my name, and that's the website you go to if you want to hear the stuff that's already playing. And there's a whole bunch of other trainings on there as well. How to create. We'll discuss this. It's going to take two times to get through this. I already talked about this. Quantum physics, chemistry, natural physics, word of God, in order to show they're all saying the same thing. We create our own reality. How to create will be given as well at the end of the lesson, which have been successful in my life when I do them. And that's an important thing. It's been successful in my life when I do them. How many times do we know a thing but we don't do a thing? We say the greatest three words in the world that are the most disempowering ever. I know that. Oh, if you know that, why don't you do that? And that's our problem. We know it, but we don't do it. Because we do what we believe, right? So doing it's the important thing. We studied the double slit experiment from Dr. Feynman and understand science says we bring the unseen into the seen based on expectation, what we believe is going to be there. We understand the Word of God says the same thing quantum physics says. We create the reality we live in based on the thoughts and intents of our heart beliefs. Let's review the conclusions of the double slit. So we're not going to go through the whole double slit again, just the conclusions. There's that atom. I wanted to put that up there so we know what the atom is. Proton, neutron, and the electrons on the outside. And you know, something weird about the atom. The charges, we made those up. Protons positive, neutrons neutral, electrons negative. It's made up. Truthfully, based on all the research they've done, if they were going to call it anything, the electron should be positive. So it shouldn't be electricity, it should be positivity, or positricity, harder to say, but it's the testing shows it's actually a positive, and the protons are most likely negative. But because this is the way it was always started in 1847, this is the way it's been forever. Again, a weird one. So the conclusion of Dr. Feynman on the double slit experiment says, man's observation and expectation on a subatomic realm changed the outcome of the experiment drastically. What was a wave potential became matter based on the expectation of the observer to see it. In other words, he thought it would be, and it was. Because the expectation of the heart was, well, it should be this, and boom. And we're going to say these words over and over again, and you're right. Because you believe it should be, there it is. You know, and not believe with your head, believe with your heart. Because when you believe with your head, you know, I want to be wealthy, I want to be wealthy, but your heart says, you're a loser, you'll never be wealthy, you mess up all the time. This is the one that's going to come through, not this. We're going to talk about that further, but the heart is 500 times more powerful than the head in EMF waves. Proving that a man in his consciousness interacts, controls, influences matter in its formation. What was a wave potential when acted upon by the thoughts and expectations of observer became matter where and as expected. Wait, what is the word of God said? And we remembered that the word of God said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which translated into in the now, because the only time we got is now. We don't have, God is not I am, he is I am, he's not I was, and he's not I will be. In the now, belief makes up the essence or building blocks of things expected and is proved by the appearance of matter not previously seen by the naked eye. That's what that scripture says when translated from the Greek. So it's saying the same thing Dr. Fenneman said. Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence. So protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues, the boundaries of life. That's important, for out of it flow the boundaries. What boundaries do we set up for ourselves? I mean, we set up boundaries for ourselves all the time that, you know, well, I can allow myself to make $100,000, and there's a boundary, because I'd just like to make $100,000. But you could say, somebody that's making $100,000 is going, well, I can make $200,000. How about you can make whatever you can make, a bazillion. You know, it's not about a number. They're just zeros. But we set up these boundaries that we're comfortable with, and because of these boundaries and because of this comfort level, we limit what we do see in our lives. So, somebody coming in? Come on in. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How you doing, Sal?
How's it going?
Good. Good to see you. Sit down, take a seat. Yeah, that's all right. You can sit next to my wife if you want, or you can sit up front and make me look stupid. So we create our own reality based on our expectations in our heart, and we are always right. Bad things come in threes. If you say that, you're probably going to be right. You got one, here comes two more, because this is what you believe. I mean, how many times have we grown up with this kind of a mindset? Our parents said it, and our parents' parents said it. Bad things come in threes. So here comes one. Why not? Well, I know two more are coming, because bad things come in threes. Or, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, because something good happened, so I know the other shoe's going to drop, something bad's going to happen. Got to level it out. It can't be that good. How many times have we said that to ourselves, just to destroy what great stuff is happening? Can't be that good. You're just like your father. This is the one we say to our kids all the time. Or you're just like your mother, or you're just like your uncle. And we condemn them and speak that on them. So we're right, they are just like them. Is that what we want? No. We really got to watch our tongues around our kids. Or I go from glory to glory to glory. There's another option. So any questions on that? This is a hard thing. This is just training you up to say the things that benefit, not tear down. No, you're right. Always. You can say bad things come in 33s,
right.
And that potential exists as well.
It's
what are you going to allow in your reality? Because how many times then the third one hits and then it's almost like, oh, okay, well, that's over. I'm done with that, and now no more bad things come because you're over. It's done. Because you said it was.
Yep.
For that moment, that's right. No, it's on the other side. Right, it's on the other side. But it's so much deeper because there's so many options on every choice that we make. Billions. And we're going to go through that, those options and what they're called in quantum physics and how you actually collapse or bring from the unseen into the seen, how we do that stuff. Okay, we create from our own reality. The Bible says this is wacky power scriptures. I call them wacky power because a lot of people can quote them, but they don't do them or believe them. Mark says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's a mountain. Now, oh, that's just metaphor. He's just using a metaphor about a mountain. No, when you translate, it says mountain. He's talking about a mountain. What is mountain? What is this water? What is everything? All it is energy. We talked about that last week. Protons and neutrons and electrons make up everything. A proton is two up quarks and a down quark. That's an energy packet. A neutron is two down quarks and an up quark. Energy packet. An electron is wave potentials. Energy. Everything is energy. Your chairs are vibrating at a certain frequency right now. Can't feel it. If you could, it'd be cool. But everything vibrates at a certain frequency. Everything is energy. Everything has energy. Everything. So if it's just a mountain and there's an atom, let's talk about a hydrogen atom real quick, just as an aside. If you took the proton of a hydrogen atom and the electron, and you, if I put a dot about that big on the wall, you know where the electron would be located? 100 yards away. What's in between all that? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, how hard is it to walk through a wall when Jesus did it? All he did was found whatever vibrational frequency he had to, and most of it is just nothing, air. We believe all this nothing is his most powerful word, holding everything together, because all things are held together by his most powerful word. Science is trying to say, well, there's a positive charge here and a negative charge here. I'm a nuclear chemist. This is what I know that I know that I know how to teach, but then I know that it's all kind of made up, but it's easier to talk about, because we all talk the same language that way. What's another one? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What? Things which are seen are not made by things that do appear. It's made by the unseen. It's telling you right there. Well, the Bible kind of messed up on that one, because I don't want to believe that garbage. Right? But it's telling us. This thing is like a pterodactyl. Luke 17:6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So it means stuff listens to what we say when we say it from the place of authority. And it's going to pick itself up and put itself in the sea, because you're the boss. Who has all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus on this earth? We do. Why do we act like we don't?
Mm-hmm.
Believing in your heart. Yeah, you're saying if, what he's saying, we do have all authority if we believe we do have all authority. But if we don't believe we have all authority, then we don't have all authority.
So are we declaring it?
Correct. But sometimes you got to declare until you believe. Because you know who you believe when you're listening to stuff? You. When I want to change my mindset, I record myself talking that new thing into a recording, and then I listen to myself saying it, because I listen to me. How many times during the day are you saying terrible things about yourself? And you listen to it. You can't help it. So why not on purpose change that mindset? Listening to you. Right, well, that's why we're here. Because the world has taught all of us here intellectually. Correct. But the point is, we're going to use the language of the intellect to show that it's saying the same thing that the Word has always been saying. And stop making the Word some airy-fairy, of no value thing, and make it the power that it really does have, that it's always taught us the truth. We just haven't lined up with the truth. And the last one, Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye should desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So desire means of the Father. Of Father. Desire. When you believe that you receive them, you shall have them. How many times have you been praying for a thing, and then all of a sudden you just go, you know, I got it. It's good. You know that you know it's coming. And you let it go because you know that you know. And it comes. Because you let it go, because you knew. You didn't put anxiousness next to it. You didn't put anxiety. You didn't put fear. You just let it go because it was done in your mind. And because it's done in your mind, it's done. But a lot of times we dig it back up, and we put a lot of negative energy around it again. And then we go, oh, no, no, we can't do that. No, oh, God, please make it. And it's not happening quick enough. God, I was here last night, and I'm going to do it again. And I'll do it 10 times today. Pray. We just got to let it go after we say it from that place of authority. Exactly. That's right. The number one thing it feels is the energy that it's coming from, not the words that you're saying. It's the energy it's coming from. We'll talk about a little bit about that. Frequency. So anybody know what frequency is? This is a little bit of physics. What's that? Cycles per second, frequency. Hertz, it sure does hertz. Frequency describes the number of waves that pass a fixed point in a second. Typically we use them as hertz, vibrations per second. Why do I say that? Because everything has a vibrational frequency. Everything, including us. We have a vibrational frequency. That chair has a vibrational frequency. The earth has Schumann resonant frequency, 7.8 hertz. It vibrates at 7.8 hertz. Everything vibrates, everything. For example, an A note in a violin string is 440 hertz, 440 vibrations per second. Here's a high frequency, what it looks like. See how many more little up and downs there are per second than there is in a low frequency? Very few up and down per second, just so you know what a high frequency looks like as opposed to a low frequency. Does that make sense? Okay. So the chemistry creating and frequency. Oh, I didn't know I put that one, little bouncy thing in. You think a thought. A picture is created in the mind, or is it in the heart? There's a big debate about that. An emotion's attached to that picture. We attach an emotion to that picture we create. Now, the funny thing is, we could create the same picture. Me and Ed could create the same picture, but I have a different emotion around it than he has around it. So it's going to be a different end result. For example, somebody pictures himself losing their job. Let's just use that for an example. And they lose, they say, they're losing their job. Oh, and one guy is like, oh my God, then I can't eat. Then the kids, what are we going to do with them? And all of a sudden you see yourself on a street corner with a sign saying, we'll work for whatever. Or the same, another person seeing that same picture, losing their job, and they're going, wow, all right, I can finally do what I always wanted to do. And I'm out of the bondage of that job, that J-O-B, that just over broke, that they've put me in, right? So that's the thing, is that we create the reality of what the energy is we put behind it. So an emotion's attached to that picture. And it can't, a lot of times the emotion here, this is where a lot of us messed up, and I've messed up in the past. You see the picture, but you're so anxious about it. There's a fear, or maybe it won't come, or an anxiety. That's not a good thing to have for that picture, because you're, as you said, pushing it away. That's true. You write a story about it. You just make a whole story about that picture. We used to do that in high school. We used to just put a picture up on the wall, and they'd say, write a story about this. How did we get to this place? I loved that. That was fun. But you can write a negative story in the same picture as you could write a positive story. And create on purpose or be created on. Everything, every one of us creates. So we can create on purpose or we can be created on. It's create a plan or be part of someone else's plan. So we need to have a plan. We need to have a personal plan. We need to have a family plan. We need to have a plan that we're creating together as one if we're a married couple so that we can move forward to that, because that energy of as one is so powerful. Now, the hypothalamus, we know, releases neuropeptides or amino acids. I looked this up. There's 177 different amino acids and 177 different emotions associated with the hypothalamus. And each emotion has a different amino acid that's released. So each emotion releases just a little bit of a different amino that chelates into your cells. Each cell has a receptor site for it, chelates into it, and you vibrate at some certain frequency based on that emotion. That's how it works. That's the chemistry of it. It says, oh, negative, okay, release this amino, boom, negative. You're vibrating in a negative state. More negative comes your way. Now, why is that? We don't want more negative. Why are we vibrating at this low energy state or this negative state, if you will? What happened? We lined up with it. Why do we line up? What do? Mm-hmm. Yep. The body becomes the mind.
So in other words, you can read a book on exercise and diet, and the mind says it's a great idea.
Right.
And I'll feel better, I'll look better.
Yep.
I won't have to go to the doctor. Right. And all this kind of stuff. But your body has been trained over time.
Right.
Through the thoughts and feeling and emotion to say, we'll start next Monday.
Next Monday never comes, neither does it. Yep. Yep. Right.
But that's where it gets into meditation and stuff like that.
More than meditation. Meditation's one spot. Another thing is for Christians is, when you fast. What you're doing is you're telling your body, no, thank you, but I'm the boss of me. Oh, yeah, you want me to eat more and more and more, but I'm fasting right now because I'm going to tell you who's the boss. So you crush the flesh so that you can see the things that your spirit man wants to see. That's why people fast. That's why you should fast. You're looking for an answer, and you're never going to hear the answer in the fleshly realm. You're going to hear it in the spirit realm. Yep. Yep. Well, and what you're saying, and he just got a little ahead of me, but when the receptor site is fed, when the cell divides, and it keeps getting this anxiousness or fear, it assumes you want more of it. So it divides and creates another cell with more of those receptor sites, almost like you're chemically addicted to that amino. That because you're addicted to the emotion. So, and then the next time it divides, more of it. And so pretty soon, you're an addict to anxiety. You're an addict to fear. You're an addict to lack because your body actually wants those chemicals. But it works the other way too. If you're in peace, joy, and love, and the cells divide, then there's more receptor sites for peace, joy, and love. And more, and more, and more. And pretty soon, you walk around in peace, joy, and love. You're vibrating at a higher frequency. You allow yourself to get dragged back down. Huh? Well, most of the time, truthfully, you say, why do we get in drag? I'm trying to tell the people at home. Why do we get dragged back down into anxiety, guilt, fear? A lot of times it has to do with the fact that I get in the way because now all of a sudden ego takes over. The I takes over. And I want to be part of this equation. When I'm out of the way, I'm easily in peace, joy, and love. When I'm in the way, that's when I go back into the fear, lack, and worry. Correct. Correct. No, you're right. And so it's right. Again, and that's truth. But again, the truth of that is, who put the meaning on that? We did, right? We put the meaning on it. I mean, we can have universal things that are wrong. We will say, that little baby dying, that was wrong. But somebody else may look at it a different way. It's we who put the meaning on it, we who put the emotion on it. And we can always, see, this is what's cool about us. We can go back in time and change an event by putting a different spin on it. I did this with my father. My father put me down in front of everyone while I was a little kid, and we were marching, singing Christmas carols. And in between Christmas carols, we'd march, like you had to go home with your left, your right. And he was in charge, because my dad was always in charge. And I was, we'd march, and I'd go, dan, 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 you know, and I was doing my little thing, and he said, "Shut up, what is wrong with you? Some kind of a fag or something?" Now, this is my dad, in front of all my friends, the neighbors, everything. I was crushed, and I was angry for many, many, many years about that one little blip of time that he didn't even remember anymore. And what I did was, I went back there, found out more information, reframed it. My dad was working three jobs at that time, but he wanted to get home so he could Christmas carol. So he's working on Christmas Eve, but he wants to get home in time to Christmas carol. And so he was stressed. He had bills. He had Christmas. We had six kids. There's a lot of money. He don't have it. And so I was just a blip in a minute of time. And I saw myself as that, and I reframed it all, and I could look at him as love from a place of love now, and it had no power over me anymore. I remember it perfectly, but I can speak on it, and it doesn't affect me anymore. I can see people speaking on things that happened to them before, and they start to break up and start to, because they have never gotten rid of it. They haven't reframed it. It's still tearing them up. And what we do with those things is we hide them in the back, somewhere deep, recesses of the darkness. And then it comes out at the worst opportune time. You know, maybe it's a spouse or something, and all of a sudden you're saying, you're like, and it's just like the time. Where did you file that one? That was 7 years ago, right? You could, exactly, yep. Yep, I agree with you, because when you talk about it, you make it so. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will keep bringing it up because they identify, and then they start to make that part of their story, and then they give it so much life that it can never go away, because then who am I if this goes away, right? Key is consistency and focus of expectation. Stay the course, stay focused, and make sure your expectation is of what you really want, not what you don't want. Oh, that's funny. Didn't even know I had all that stuff. So each disease even has its own vibrational frequency. Now we're going to get into a little bit of how we can cure disease with vibrations and frequency. In 1934, Dr. Royal Raymond Rife cured all 1,000 patients of incurable cancer using a frequency generator that he had created. He would find the frequency that the cancer cell would vibrate at. He would apply an opposite frequency to it, neutralize it, and then do this every day, and in over a 3 to 4 week period, the cancer would be out of their body. No cancer. So, they've got all kinds of awards for it and everything like that. The doctor received 14 awards through the Medical Association for doing this. The University of South Carolina, they didn't buy it. They ran a study with Dr. Rife to ensure the soundness of his device. Okay? They appointed a special medical research committee, and the testing was done in Pasadena County on these another 1,000 cancer patients. In 90 days, the patients were examined by appointed doctors of the committee, and 86.5% of the patients were found to be completely cured in 90 days. In the next 4 weeks, the remaining 13.5% were completely cured. You can go to www.rife.org. The cure is there. You got to remember, they don't want the cure. There's too much money in cancer. They'll never, ever, 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 the nebulous they, will never allow the cure to exist, because they make all their money when you're going through the hard stuff. So just awaken, you know, take the scales off your eyes. Three pharmaceutical companies attempted to buy the technology from Rife, and he wouldn't sell it. So, in late 1934, his office was ransacked, his paper stolen, his equipment completely destroyed. American Medical Association decided they did not recognize Rife's project as medicine and dismissed it. Rife was disheartened and never built another machine. Now, they've got, like, machines out there nowadays that are supposed to fix allergies and things like that using the same type of a technology. But that one little thing, we got to kill that thing. We should never open that thing. All right, Tony. Way to go. It died like a laser. So, just a little review. All matter is just as made up of energy and potential waves. There is really no matter except that which collective or individual belief says there is, held together by his most powerful word. Everything's energy. Everything is. Isn't it so much easier to create if you think things are all just energy? It's just out there. It's just stuff. It's just waves. All we got to do is focus and create it. Make it into this realm, because it's already existing in the unseen realm. God did it. He created the seen and the unseen, all stuff. Our job was to bring from the unseen to the seen. Yeah. Right. And that's, I usually talk about that. You're exactly right. You'll be in a party or something, and somebody will walk into a room that they just have their stuff together. You just know they got their stuff together, and you'll go, "Who's that?" Now, they didn't say a word, they didn't do nothing, they just walked in the room, but you can just feel that energy, that confidence, that just oozing off of them. Another person can come in, and they're just so down, and you can feel this negative energy, and you're like, "Ooh, stay away from that person." Now, they haven't said a word yet either. So if we don't believe that kind of feeling is real, that's real stuff. Now, when Jesus walked into a room, they either lined up or they got out, because he was an environment changer. Right? And that's what he did. He brought his peace with him everywhere he went. And that's kind of how we're supposed to walk. We're supposed to bring peace with us so we change the environment. Is that what you're talking about? And you can't have an argument if only one person shows up to the battle. If you both need to be right, you're going to have an argument. If the marriage itself is more important than both people being right, you'll find common unions, a place you got to go so we can talk about it. Now, and being raised the way I was, an Italian, I needed to be right. So my dad told me that, he showed me that, and it didn't matter what stupid thing he said, it was right. And I had to slowly learn that probably wasn't right, and it wasn't the best way to create friends in your life. You just created people that feared you. So, let's go on. The word and the double slit experiment are saying exactly the same thing, and all things have a resonance frequency. And by applying an opposite, a resonance frequency, they resonate a certain frequency, and by applying an opposite frequency to that frequency, it'll neutralize the result. You know, including your words, "I am prosperous, I am wealthy," and you believe that, but maybe your spouse is saying, "Oh, we're going to go broke. I can't believe you did that. Where are we going to get this? Where are we going to get that? I'm so nervous." You know, that's neutralizing the positive that you put in to make it a null result of straight line. Nothing. Nothing. Any questions on that? I don't want to hear any personal stories. I just want to know if there's any questions on that. And these are things we all do. We're just bringing them up so we can laugh about them, but maybe be aware of them the next time we get in this situation. Yep. Well, right. It's a waste of time to argue. But if you wanted to get your point across, I would probably say something sweet like, hey, I understand where you're coming from. And you know, I used to think that way too. And then I found out. Because the first thing you did, you linked them, common union. You made them one with you. I understand where you're coming from. And I thought exactly that same thing. And they go, oh, well, I like that person, obviously brilliant. And then you say, but when I did some research, I found... See, the problem is too many times we come right against them, so you're like, boom, 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 and there's nothing gained. And when you can actually win someone over with, because we know that love conquers all, right? That compassion. Yep. Anger, right. Right. I think when you get into the argument stage, it's all about you. You know, because a lot of times there's an argument. They're arguing the point that you made, not you. It's not you unless you choose to make it you, right? It's just the belief that you have. So try to separate you from all that, and you won't get into these things. And remember, emotion wants to be in motion. But you never do. I'm kidding. Right. Yep.
I mean, because they don't know what you know.
Right.
So it does no good to get mad at them. You just love them.
Well, and you know, we as when we're Christians or whatever, I mean, we're taught by the news media and everything to hate Muslims, right? We're supposed to hate them. We just don't like them. They all blow themselves up every 15 minutes because that's what they do. But then when you come to them from a different point, you actually get to meet them, and you see that they're just the same as we are, and the only thing that they don't get about Jesus is the grace, because they believe he was the only sinless prophet that ever walked this planet. They believe that he's the one coming back at the end of time to bring peace to this planet. Not Muhammad, they believe Jesus is, Isa. But they do not believe that he died on the cross and rose again, because that covers everything. That covers our sin, and that's grace. And so now you have compassion for them because they don't believe in grace. But at least you know where they're coming from, so you can speak with them from a place of compassion. And remember, the word compassion is agape, which is love. Hi. Okay, we're done talking about Latter-day Saints stuff, so let's move on. Multiverse. What if each of us had our own universe? What if each of us created the stuff we live in was just created by us, for us, to see how we did as like a test? Because that's what string theory is all about. That there's billions of different universes going on in parallel to each other at the same time. What if then, and why wouldn't you have the ability to create in your own little universe? I mean, God's amazing. He can do anything. You can be judged, and, you know, that's why you don't want to be judged, because judge not, be not judged. By the measure you judge, you'll be judged. By the measure you met, you'll be meted, right? That you don't want that stuff in your little deal. I mean, there's, you know, when they talk about this parallel universe thing, and I'm not going to get too far into it, but I'm just letting us think a little bit. You know, they talk about there could be one where the Earth's already blown up. There's one where we're all living in peace, like Star Trek. You know, there is no money and everybody's happy. We're all living together. There's one where the Germans won the war. You know, there's all these different potentials that could be out there, all based on one thing. What? What makes each one of these different? Choice. Choice. The most powerful thing we have is choice. What do we choose to believe? What do we choose to do? And once we've made that choice, each choice, which is a seed, bears a fruit, which bears a fruit in our life. So each choice is a seed. And each choice, when planted, bears a fruit. Good or bad, we made the choice, right? So just know, we're the one doing it to ourselves because of the choices we make. Some choices were terrible, but God turned them to good, right? And that's the amazing thing. They think, well, why did God do this? Why is God allowing all this stuff, the wars and all? What kind of God is that? The truth is, we have all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus. Why are we allowing it? We're the boss here. He's our papa. All power, dominion, and authority. But he says, through Jesus, I give you all power, dominion, and authority. You have it. He's not an Indian giver. Okay, give me back that. I need it now. We decide.
That also is not based on our likeness to
Jesus. Or not.
Because if our inner being isn't like his inner being was, then your authority, power, and dominion is going to destroy. It's not going to produce fruit. It's going to produce sin.
Well, that's a fruit. That's a fruit. It's your identity, bro, right? It's your identity. Who do you believe you are? And consummator, right? And if you're not sure, you're going to get not sure results.
100%.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there has to be some accountability and responsibility to walk in the likeness and image of Jesus. And if you don't know how, that's what you're seeking for truth.
Absolutely. That's what we're all doing. We're trying to get to that place.
It's a journey and a pathway. It's not just, I'm going to declare that's true when it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like,
no, of course not. Right.
So in your walk that you're talking about, you're going to be off course most of the time, but y'all, you just make adjustment here, make adjustment here, walking like Christ. Whoops, I went unconscious. You know, I said something I shouldn't have said, did something I shouldn't do. You just went unconscious. You weren't conscious of it. It's like,
right.
And then you get right back on course.
And you forgive yourself and get back on course. Yeah, what was I talking about? I lost it when you guys started. Huh?
String theory.
I was talking about string theory.
Yeah,
we're creating our own reality. Each choice is a seed, and it produces a fruit, and that we have all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus if we choose to step into that and choose to believe it. And, you know, like, I even believe it says that God has predestined our steps.
Yes.
Right? I believe that. Why? It says it. What does that mean? Well, that means I don't have to do nothing, so whatever it is, it's the will of God. May it be the will of Allah. Same thing. No. It means he's created a perfect path for me. I have choice. I'm along the path. I'm 5, I'm 6, I'm doing pretty good. All of a sudden, alcohol, that's good. And I'm down here, and then I'm beating up everybody, and then I'm in prison, And I'm like, oh, that's not good. And then I come back up here, and then I go to Promise Keepers, and I'm getting closer. And then all of a sudden, I'm back on track again, and I get so much stuff, I don't know what to do with it, because it overtakes me. It comes right. I'm not looking at the blessing. The blessing is overtaking me. And how much? More than I can handle, because it was always there. I just wasn't. He's predestined us. Our job is to find that place we're supposed to be. And you know when you know you're there? Peace, love, and joy. You feel it. You're in the kingdom environment. So, quantum physics are creating choice. Quons, possibility waves. This is what they call the billions of waves. For every event has billions of choices you can make. I can pick up a chair and throw it at Keith right now. Probably not a good choice. But I could. I could turn out the lights and just throw something real hard and see what happens and see who gets hit. I mean, there's so many different things I could choose right now, but I choose to keep teaching and not lose everybody. But those are called quons. They have no energy. They're just potential waves, they call them, potential waves. Now, probability waves is when you start to focus on something. You start to believe it could be. You start to feel it. You start to meditate on it, and you're trying to bring it from the unseen, the quon, the possibility, to a probability. Now, choice is the creator. What you choose to focus on. What am I focusing on? And, you know, our brains are so whacked out. I'm great, I'm great, I stink, I stink. I'm great, I'm great, I'm no, no, I stink. And we're boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. But greatest energy wins. Which dog are you feeding the most? That's the dog that's going to win, right? I love the Bible because you got poor Peter. I mean, we've talked about him. He's sitting there in one sentence. He's, oh, this was revealed to you by the Father. You know, you're amazing there, Pete. Good job. And then, you know, no more than 30 seconds, 40 seconds later, because he's berating Jesus. You will not let you be killed. Get back from me, Satan. So the dude went from the Father told him something to get back from me, Satan, in a matter of minutes. And that's us. So we train ourselves to focus on the positive, the greater things, the things we really do want. How do we do that? What are some tools we use? We use lists. We use affirmations. We use I am statements. And we'll get into those tools in a little bit. Expectation shapes the reality. You acting as if it were so collapses, or as they say, pops. I don't know what word that is. It's supposed to say pops the quiff. It's supposed to be Q. I think I got a little Google crazy. Quick Google F. It's Quiff. Sorry. But yeah. But you acting as if it were so is when it becomes so. How do you act as if you speak it and you let it go? Or you celebrate because it's done in your mind. If you can believe it's done. When did we finally become pregnant? When we let it go. We said, you know what? We know we're supposed to be. God says he adds arrows to our quiver. We know it's going to happen. I don't care what the doctors say. Let it go. No more anxiety. No more stress around it. Boom. Then Victor. That's why his name is Victor. Right. Well, that's what we're going to get to. It's so every possible outcome that event in which it collapses, distilling it into the actual outcome once it is observed or believed. So what did I say? That is to say every event exists as a wave function. So every possibility is just a wave function. It's so easy to just have a wave function turn into matter than think that everything is set in stone. We have no power. There's nothing we can do. We're powerless. What can I do about it? And that's where we are as a people. We're being trained to be that. Because, you know, you're just a protoplasmic ooze thing that accidentally happened when an amino acid dropped in the pool and boom, there came human life. Right? That's what they tell us. And, you know, 14 million years ago, that's when it all started. Well, billions of years ago, if it was Carl Sagan, and 14 million for the Earth. Why do I know that? Big Bang Theory. The whole universe was in a hot, dense state, and 14 million years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. Forget it. Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. The word careful translated is anxious for nothing. You know, but that's what they train us to be, is anxious. anxious, anxiety, what if, news, listen to it, fear, 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 all hell's breaking loose, what's your problem, anxious, 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 be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, oral prayer is what it means, and supplication, petitioning from their heart, with thanksgiving, gratitude, and celebration, let your requests be made known unto God. They're telling you exactly how it works. Cue on prayer, I'm focusing, I'm giving it energy, I'm supplicating, I'm saying it over and over, I'm giving it more energy, I'm giving it more energy, boom, I'm celebrating. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Done. Boom, and you bring it into the reality. Bible knows some stuff. He might have known quantum physics, I don't know. Seemed pretty smart. But the cool thing is it's saying the same thing that quantum physics is saying. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So why don't we have them? Oh, the anxious stuff and fear and all that stuff that they've trained us up to be, and then we vibrate. How easy is it to find somebody when you are in a tough spot and you are in fear? How easy is it to find somebody to line up with you? Oh, you think you got problems. Let me tell you my mess. And then all of a sudden you got seven people with a pity party screaming about how bad their lives are. And all they're doing is creating more bad stuff in their lives. That's what we do when we do that. But we're so happy we found somebody like us. That Jerry Springer drives me nuts. This brings the unseen into the seen, or what was not to reality, or what you expected to pass. All right, physics of creating. We are always right, and we just keep doing that. You know, when somebody says something in your family or something, and you're right, because we say it flippantly. We say what we don't want so many times flippantly. Well, that's probably going to be a good thing. That's never going to work out. And you're right. Right? We got to watch our tongue, guard our tongue, guide, because it's the rudder that steers the ship. Bible might know something, I don't know. The emotional environment you create from will attract or create your results. Every emotion creates a frequency. We talked a little bit about that. You can create from three basic places or states of now. Remember, you only create in now. You only create now. I think that's so appropriate because God is only now. His name is I Am because he's now. So you can't say I'm going to create tomorrow. You create now. You can't say I'm going to start lifting Monday because you create it now. So you can create from three basic places of now. You can create from the kingdom environment. Peace, joy, and love. The kingdom environment for creating. Peace is the environment, joy is the emotion, and love is the weapon. Love conquers all, right? I bring my peace, I have joy, and it's not stupid laughter. Joy means calm delight. The translation of the word joy is calm delight. It's the knowing. It's when the cyclonic muscles in your eyes just come up. You just know that you're in a good place. You're joyful. And then love is the weapon to conquer, because we're not fighting against people, we're fighting against principalities, powers of darkness. How they beat us is we fight against each other. Is that truth? Or we can create from Doris Day place of que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. You truly do not create on purpose, but you're created upon by the world and others. We abdicate our authority in this place. Well, whatever. Whatever. What can I do about it? Whatever. So we get what the world gives. Yin, yang, up, down, good, bad. We get what they get. That's why Christians look just like the world. That's why the divorce rate's exactly the same. Because we're que sera, sera. But we're supposed to be empowered. We're not supposed to be that. Fear, lack, and worry. Keep creating things that bring fear, lack, and worry in your life. When you create, how many times, I mean, you get in that place and you're in fear and you're stressing out and all of a sudden something else hits you. And then you're stressing out and something else hits you. And it's like a machine gun riddling, because it won't just hit you with one. It's like boom, 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 boom. And, you know, finally, you almost get to the place where you laugh. You're like, forget it, man. I'm done. I'm done with it. Whatever. And when you do that, when you let it go, then the answer will come to some problem. Like I used to think, when I was studying, I'd have a problem, and I'd put my nose to the grindstone, and I'd be in fear that I wouldn't be able to get it, and I'm working, and I'm working, and I'm working, and I'm working, and I finally go, I just can't figure it out. Push it away. And when I push it away, boom, there's the answer. Why? Because I let go, got myself back into peace where I let it go, and the answer never existed in fear, lack, and worry. It only existed in peace, love, and joy. So if I want to find the answer, I got to get myself in the right spot. Peace, love, and joy. Exactly. Again, you can't have a fight. You can't have a fight with one, if only one guy shows up. If one guy's loving you, it's hard to fight. Sometimes they piss you off. I want to fight. Well, brother, I understand that. Oh, man. I'm going to hit you just for... Anyway, does that kind of make sense? Yeah, I want to, you know. When you want to be in a fight, you're going to look for a fight, and you want somebody to be arguing. Yes, ma'am. Yep, same exact one. Come what, or if you want to even be religious about it, if it be the will of Allah. See, then I have no obligation. It's on God. Hope he don't screw up. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Oh, the baby died. Well, I guess God had a purpose for taking the 2-month-old from our planet because, you know, he had something, he needed him in heaven.
But I'm
going to
say that's another mindset.
Yeah, you're right. Anything that puts us in a victim place is of the world, and it's not of God. Anytime we can blame someone else, that's of the world, not of God. Even our spouses. I can't blame Michelle. I have to look at me. And I wouldn't get all angry if there wasn't some truth in what she said. And that stinks, because I don't want to believe that, right? But I would never be angry, because it wouldn't be me. So I'd be like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. If it was, but if it's something that I'm really struggling with, or she hit it right on the head, I'm going to lash back out at her. Ah, I'll show you who's in charge here. So a thought firmly fixed in the mind and held to be true in the heart continually will line up with and create the things represented by that thought to reinforce what the holder of the thought apparently wants. Well, you're in fear all the time, so I figure you know you have power, dominion, and authority, the universe says, so I'm going to bring you more of that because that must be what you want. Because you're the boss. Bring on more anxiety for John Morgan. Okay. Because we're in charge. But if we say we want more because we keep focusing on that thing, okay, here's some more of that mess, war, battles. Heck, I've been having dreams about battles for a week, right? Because, and why? I'm a warrior. If I identify myself as a warrior, I'm a warrior. Well, what does a warrior need to be of value? A war. So if there's no war around, I'm going to create one. I'll find one. There's somebody I don't agree with. There's somebody I got to fight. And I'll find a war. And I attract the wars. You're right? And I got to stop. Look, I don't want to look at the guy that doesn't agree with me. I got to look at me. Why did I attract that into my life? That's when it's time to start digging deep and finding out, why did I want that in my life? Well, I didn't want that. Well, yeah, you did, because you got it. You must have wanted it. Well, things just happen. No, I want it. Things can just happen in victim. Or you attracted it in victor. Okay, sera, sera. Right? Any questions? This is hard stuff, but is it making sense? But what if I have two thoughts, one positive and one negative? I really want to have wealth. But if I have wealth, I'll be in Vegas coking and smoking and womanizing, and so maybe I shouldn't have wealth. Okay. But I really want to have wealth. Well, you got a way of going like this, and you got a way of going like this, and you're going to get Nothing. Right? We do that to ourselves. It is cognitive dissonance. It's exactly what it is. That's right.
If you step into the negative action, you're going to dismiss the belief that says, hey, that's a bad or negative thing. If you have any type of level of dissonance, two different beliefs, you're going to take the one that's on your feet, like you said.
The one with the greatest energy is going to win. And that's the point I was going to make. But, if you have a positive thought and you have a negative thought, how many times have we destroyed ourselves? We're on the 5-yard line. We're about ready to score. We're about a $1 million deal just about to happen, or $100,000 deal, and it's going to happen, and you're right ready to go, and then boom, and it falls apart. Why? And you're almost relieved. Because I don't know if I can handle that. I say I can, but I don't know if I can handle that. And with that comes more responsibility, and I just want to worry day to day to make and eat. Because if I have wealth on top of all that, now I'm really responsible for some stuff. I'm just saying. Greatest energy wins. Which one do you feed all the time? You know, and a lot of us were brought up in a place of negativity and anxiety and fear, and it's a natural state for us, and we go there naturally. We got to stop that. And there's ways we're going to give tools to stop that. The word says, how do I control my thoughts and emotions? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations, reasoning what makes common sense. We got to stop using common sense. Because common sense ain't so smart. I mean, it got our world and where it's at right now using common sense. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a hard thing. But I get better and better at it all the time. See, it's a process, right? We're not doing it now and then we beat ourselves on the back because we missed it. It's a process. Okay, I did it this time. I missed it that time. But you know, I only missed it one time. So congratulations, you only missed it one time. Now let's give it a shot again. There is no, we're not going to focus on sin, which just means missing the mark, not receiving the prize. We're focusing on relationship. You can be sin conscious, or you can be relationship or God conscious. What you focus on, you get more of. If you focus on God and relationship with God, you can become more and more like God through Jesus, because all Jesus did was hang out with God. Jesus, God, God, Jesus, and he started. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father, and all of a sudden, you know who you are. It's about relationship, not the stuff you did wrong, about him, and you can't help but do right. I know. Yep. No. You're right. Philippians says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Your first tool. A gratitude list. I have one. I look at it every morning. I got to remember to start my day off in gratitude. And I have a list of all the things I'm grateful for. And sometimes all we can remember is the things we want and we're lacking instead of the stuff we're so grateful for. Just being in this country, having a house, having a car, having some place to go, having a spouse, whatever. The gratitude list can be really long. And then you look at it and you're reading, you go, what am I worried about? I'm good. Use a gratitude list. If there's any tool that really helps, because it sets you up in that place of peace, joy, and love by going over it and feeling each of those things.
That
was that? Oh, well, in India, I mean. And here's the strange thing about it, though. I was in India, and, you know, I'm watching a moped go down the road with a family on it. Now, I'm talking about, there's a kid on the handlebars, there's a dad driving, there's mom in between the dad, there's a baby on mom's lap, and there's another kid on the back. Now, this is a little moped. Well, how did they, that's amazing, it's like a circus trick. Well, you're amazing. You want to clap for them. And you know, the rickshaws have about 8 people in them. The guy is the strongest dude in the world. He weighs about 8 pounds, and he's pulling all these people. But you see this, and they have nothing. I mean, they have nothing. We passed by a city where it was all cardboard, and they lived in cardboard boxes and stuff. And what I noticed was this. They were happy. That's messed up. They're in joy. They're happy. Because why? The most important thing for the son is the father. He's waiting for his dad to come home from work. He can't wait to see him. All the crap is out of it. It's just about the family and the unit and how happy they are just to be alive. Because they have gratitude. If Americans over there, we're like, what's that? Yeah, there is. You come in contact with who you really are and who God really is. You know, you have all this, you know, cell phones are their waves too, and they interrupt all kinds of stuff. I have friends that won't allow, he's a nuclear physicist, he won't allow cell phones in his house, David Vancouvering, because he knows what they do. You can't bring that in the house. And he won't let you. Or he'll make you put a neutralizer on the back of the phone that neutralizes the waves. I swear. Right? Nikola Tesla. This is an aside. Why? Because I just think it's so cool when we're talking about frequency. Who heard of, well, you guys have all heard of Tesla. You guys, new guys, ever heard of Tesla before? Okay. Because he didn't used to get taught at all. But he worked his way out of obscurity. Because he's the guy that invented just about everything. He invented all the stuff we use now. Not Edison, not all those guys. This guy was the smartest man on this planet at the time. All things emit frequencies and have harmonic frequency that they naturally exist at. He was the inventor of the radio, not Marconi. What? No, the patent is in Tesla's name. Marconi tried to get it, and it was taken away from Marconi and given back to Tesla. It was, but it's Tesla's. He created free energy, which J.P. Morgan did not like, because J.P. Morgan said, look, I hired you to create this radio thing to transfer what I want to say to people throughout the world, not free energy, where I'm only going to sell one little thing like this to the people, and they've got energy for free forever. He ran a car for Stanford University, a car at 80 miles an hour for 1 week with no fuel. Just using a Tesla coil. And Stanford, you know, it works. Free energy is a real thing. We can have it now. But powers that be will not allow it. Radar he invented. X-rays he invented. The HARP program, which we'll talk a little bit about because I just like to open people's eyes to what it really is. AC generator. Edison hated him for this. Now, he came overseas just to work for Edison because he thought he was the most amazing inventor because he was Thomas Edison, the man, right? Well, Edison, how many times? 1,000 times he tried to create the light bulb. He finally got it right. Tesla would see it in the unseen realm, in the spirit realm. He would see it and assemble it and have a blueprint of it done in the unseen. Then he would bring it to the scene and assemble it, and it would work the first time, every time. Everything he invented, because he knew he was spirit man, so he would get his information from the spirit realm, and he created it in the physical realm. And his dad was a pastor, his mom was an inventor. But AC generator was a big deal because what's his name? Edison invented DC, and he had all of New York running on DC with these huge giant cables. So in order to prove the harm AC generators could do. He started electrocuting animals on Broadway. Electrocuted a horse, pigs, dogs, and then an elephant to show how dangerous these AC generators were. And when he did that, Tesla got the contract for all the electric chairs throughout the United States. So what was meant for evil made him some money. But then Tesla created the AC generator and ran it in the World's Fair in 1890, whatever. And he stood and held both sides and let the waves run under him because he was grounded, and he showed them that it, how safe it was, and the whole fair was run on the AC generators, AC that he had created. And that's when everybody changed over from DC to AC. Westinghouse put his money into Tesla. And the death ray, the proton beam accelerator, had 10 joules of energy. And he had 700 U.S. patents.
Can you just explain how much power 1 joule would be?
What a nerd you are. It's a lot. I know. I got 10 to the 34th, but I can't remember of what. It's got 10 of them. Well, you know, and he also did the ultrasonic thing. We had on our ship, the Eisenhower, they brought on board a gun, if you will. It looked like a weird gun. And what they did was they set up three watermelons on the flight deck. And this guy had this gun. And we were just getting to watch it. It was cool. You know, it was 1990 or something like that. And so he aimed it at the middle one. And he's 100 yards away now. He aimed in the middle one, and you see the watermelon start going. What the gun would do is find the resonance frequency of the thing it was pointed at and make it resonate bigger and bigger and bigger until it blew up. So how hard would it be to blow up a person? Not too hard. Because we got that right away. Weapon, got it. And you can hear nothing. All you heard was a watermelon blow up. And that was back in 1990 they had those. So, the HARP system, a high-frequency active aurora research project, HARP. 1 gigawatt of power. That's a lot of power. Now, it was said to be for watching the aurora borealis. And they spent $1 billion to check out the aurora borealis. And it's in Gakona, Alaska. Not Alabama, Alaska. And there's a picture of it. Got 236 of these Tesla-type units. What is HARP? It isn't just conspiracy theorists who are concerned about HARP. In January 1999, the European Union called the project a global concern and passed a resolution calling for more information on its health and environmental risk. Despite those concerns, officials at HARP insist the project is nothing more sinister than a radio science research facility. This is from Canadian Broadcasting Company. Below are two quotes from the History Channel on HARP. Electromagnetic weapons pack an invisible wallop hundreds of times more powerful than the electric current in a lightning bolt. One can blast enemy missiles out of the sky. Another could be used to blind soldiers on the battlefield. Still another to control an unruly crowd by burning the surface of their skin. If fired over a large city, an electromagnetic weapon could destroy all electronics in seconds, EMP pulse. The Air Force now uses directed energy to create a powerful electromagnetic pulse. This is what they said, History Channel said the HARP does. And then directed energy is such a powerful technique, we already did this one. So what can HARP do? Mind control. We used it in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. We didn't use the HARP unit, the same technology, even had big ships that had vibrational frequencies, and they would go out to the land. And they would. The whole point was confusion of the enemy. And it would mess up because your brain is a receiver, and it receives information, receives waves, and they'd be all confused. Why do you think the third toughest army in the world was found hiding in caves? They were messed up, right? There was hardly any battle. At the beginning, they all found them hiding in caves everywhere because of this stuff, and they were using it offshore in the Red Sea and putting it toward the battle zone. Earthquakes. And one of the ones that they know that the unit was on for was the tsunami in Japan. It was on, it was firing at the exact moment the tsunami hit Japan and hit that nuclear power plant. And I wonder who did that. That's why people don't like the United States. We do stuff like that because they wouldn't listen to us. And they were starting to cut a deal with China and make this pact with China. And we told them, no, we don't want that. And said, well, no, we're going to do it. Boom, the next day, the tsunami hit accidentally, right at the key place it had to hit. Tornadoes, tsunamis we talked about, bring down an airplane or a missile. I mean, these are, because now what Tesla created this for was to be able to protect us if missiles should come in. It was like a dome of protection around the United States. And we could fire out anything coming in, we could wipe it out just using energy frequencies. Blackout a city. This is a picture when it's firing, what it looks like in the sky. So if it's coming your way and you see one of these clouds with the big circle in it, you're getting hit. And the only thing you'll hear, and they've got some tapes of it, is a whatever frequency it vibrates at, but that's what you'll hear when it's firing. There's another one. That was the one in Japan. There's what it looks like coming out of Alaska. And these are the weird clouds it makes, almost like waves. So this is what we, USA, have the ability to do. The Russians have one too, 76 units. We have 256 units. They got a smaller one. And they're always located real close to the ionosphere so they can grab the energy from the ionosphere and fire it down. That's why it's in Alaska and Russia, real close. And if you wanted to know how it works, and without getting too bored, how it works is they send radio waves up to the ionosphere. Then they excite the ionosphere, and the ionosphere starts to vibrate really fast and heat up and heat up and heat up, and it actually creates a bubble. The ionosphere bubbles. When it bubbles, now you've got a bit of it exposed to the sun's rays. It heats up like crazy, so much energy, and then they stop the radio wave and it discharges to where they're guiding it to, wherever they're guiding it to. And it's 100 times more powerful than a lightning bolt. I mean, that's how it works. Now they say it was created, now they changed their story, it's not for Aurora Borealis, it was for communications with submarines, is what the new thing is. And will it do that? Yes, it will do that. There's something called ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. They're not of this world. ELF waves are amazing. They pass through matter like it's not there, because we know it's all energy. Or it passes through the ocean, and you can actually have conversations with submarines using ELF waves, extremely low frequency waves. Back to the lesson. So any questions on HAARP? And it wasn't meant to bring fear. It was meant to keep, I like people to be aware of what's really going on out there. When you see a weird storm triple times that could never happen in the history of the world all of a sudden happening, I always see if the unit's on. I like to know. Sure could. Wonder if that happened to the shuttle. I don't know. Because it blew up weird. Flying along, all of a sudden starts shaking, boom. One going up. I mean, we want to put an end to the space program. Here's how we do it. We blow it up. I'm just saying. Because life means nothing to those people in charge. You know, I know what it said. I know it was O-rings leaking on the thing. I remember that. Were you there? Did you see it? I saw the study. No, I did see the study. Okay. All right. So who am I to have power to create? Any other questions? I'm sorry. What time is it? I want to make sure. Okay. Who am I to have power to create? Only God creates, right? And when I say this, I'm throwing out some misnomers, some things that we've always heard. Well, God creates. I can't do anything. I'm just a lowly sinner. I'm nobody. I have no power. These are the things that you hear in the churches, right? Well, only God creates. Well, let's look at Hebrews 1:4 says. Who are we? Well, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Now, we got to remember what name means. It means character and authority. The word is onoma. It means we have a greater character and authority now because of what Jesus did, because we have the robe of righteousness on us, than the angels do. That's who we are. Like, they should say, sir, to us. Like, that's why they always got so nervous when you kneeled down to them in the old, you know, in the Testament. Look, I serve like you serve. Get up. Don't be worshiping me. Right? The first thing they do, they'd always go to the drop to their knees. And the angel would get nervous. Get up. But the word onoma means character and authority. So when you say in the name of Jesus, you're saying in the character and authority of Jesus, I am wielding this power. You're not, it's not the word Jesus, because Jesus, Jesus, Isa, it can be a bazillion different names in different countries. It's the character and authority of him that we wield it. In the name of the king, same thing. In the character authority of the king. Correct. Because what are we? Ambassadors. We represent. Word. What? And what happened? The apostles got all mad. But we don't know you. We don't know you, dude. So who am I? Man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was a creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, not odd God, of God, and you were created and made in the image of God. Then according to the scriptures and the words of Jesus, we have this same ability, creative power, dwelling and residing on the inside of us. Now, as Christians, we all say, yeah, I know that, amen. Why don't we act like that? Well, yeah, it's a process. Yep. So how many churches teach that? How many churches teach this? Zero. Goose. Nada. There's no power. You know what we're waiting for? Rapture. Get me out of here. Can't wait till the rapture. I got to get out of here because I'm really messing this place up. Right. Like murmuring and all that, just you keep on talking about the same old and keep getting the same old stuff. Yep. Yep. Well, and you know, it wasn't new. It was what Jesus taught back in the day, and his whole thing was to empower man to be his hands and feet, to walk God's hands and feet, to walk this planet in authority. Oh no, he got the ones he wanted. And he got the ones that had a job too. He didn't get to go to the welfare line and get them. He got the ones that were working. Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of stuff pushed down, like, you know, salvation is for all, salvation is this, and we need to sit there and get everybody saved, when most people aren't. Most people aren't walking in.
Most people that think they're saved are not saved, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I hear you. But I judge not and be not judged, because I can't know. But I understand what you're saying based on it. Were they saved in their head or or in their heart? And if they're saved in their heart, then your actions change. Because if you're saved in your heart, you do what you believe in your heart, so you start to act a different way. And then when you start to act a different way, different things happen in your life. Right? Or you stay in this place of comfort, and nothing ever changes.
Which is all still a process.
It is all a process. Think a new way, right? Repent just means think a new way. You know, the way you were working, the way you're thinking, it don't work. All right, let's think a new way. Right?
So with that, then, you know, we all make mistakes in this room. We talked about this last time. Don't beat yourself up. Don't say, oh man, I'm such a loser. Why? I used to do that a lot.
Yep. Exactly.
You're
observing your actions. Exactly. No. Right. Exactly. It's just what you did. And it's okay. Let's move on. Let's brush ourselves off, stand back up, and give it another shot. Not hide and curl up and say, I stink, and I'm never trying again. Where's the rapture?
Well, it's because of the condemnation that's been pushed down from when you're 2 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old.
Right.
You should know better. I taught you better.
Right. I taught you better than that.
People are so focused on the knowing and better, you should do better, but there's other processes that go on inside of you that dictate choice, action, behavior, and decision that people aren't aware of. And until you really understand your inner self and your inner being, you're going to continue to think it's all about the cognitive, what you know or don't know.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of people are cognitively empowered, but there's other pieces that keep that from being powerful in the way that it is.
Yep. We got about five minutes?
Sorry.
That's all right. I'm just trying to. Let's get back to what the word says about creative power. Proverbs says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I know. I mean, he said it right there. As you think you are in your heart, you're right. And you're right. You might have just said that. Proverbs 23:59. And you're right. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand the worlds before. We've did that one already. I don't want to do that again. 3 John 12. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And the word is eudo. Succeed in business affairs is what it means. Now, I don't know how many times they take the business stuff out of the church because they don't want you to succeed in business affairs. They don't want to offend anybody if you're not succeeding in the business affairs. But it says, may prosper, which the word is succeed in business affairs, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Uh-oh. Even. We can say the first part, but it's saying, if you want to prosper, your mind, will, and emotions have to prosper first. As from the inside, the outside will appear. You want to grow the soul to line up with the Spirit of God so that outside you will see prosperity.
And if you see prosperity and you haven't changed the inside,
you'll never hold it. That's why I put the lottery thing there. The idea is that 3.5 years is the normal amount of time a lottery winner holds on to his cash. 3.5 years. Why? He hasn't built this inside, his soul, enough to hold on to that money, and in 3.5 years it's gone. He's probably divorced, and he's got less money than when he started before he won the $40 million, because he doesn't know how to steward over it. So it's not money, it's the soul. So if you want to grow and get more money and be prosperous, grow your soul, grow your relationship. We, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. What are we saying? Like I said, one day I just recorded myself speaking and I didn't like what I heard, because there's a lot of negativity coming out of that face when you listen to what you said all day. You want to believe that you said all this great stuff, but really the not so great stuff outweighed the great stuff. So if you want to know what you're saying, record yourself for a day. And then we'll just do the quick review and be done for this week. Expectation shapes our reality. What situation or circumstance we focus on, we get more of. We bring from the unseen to the seen. And we discuss the power of resonance frequency and harp. And that's where we'll stop. Any questions? We've got a couple of minutes. I like the interaction. It was good. And we've all come from different experiences, so we all got something to share from that different experience. But the idea here in this class is to grow and actually do some of this stuff. You know, have the guts. I would say another word if it was just guys. But have the guts to go out there and do what we know to do. When you're being, nudged to go lay hands on somebody, do it. It's not your. There is no failure if you laid hands on them. You succeeded. Yep.
Because if the goal is to get towards perfection, that test or that trial is going to let you know what God still wants you to work on.
Yep. And it'll come up, and you don't judge yourself. Just see what it is, examine it, and move on.
And you isolate.
Yep. But the big thing is, and the key, I think, is don't judge yourself. Because we are so good, we say judge others, so don't judge yourself. Just notice it. See where it, like you did, notice it. See what the failings were. Okay, got that. Maybe I try it this way. Okay, and let's do it again. Don't judge it. Observe it, notice it, and change it. Make sense? All right, well, I appreciate you being here, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. All right? Thanks.